How would you like to scale seven-figure businesses with masterminds? Chaz Wolf will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Chaz is he is the founder of Gathering the Kings, a top-rated podcast host, driven to win, serial entrepreneur, and mastermind catalyst. So, Chaz, tell us about why it's so important for seven-figure businesses to scale with masterminds, and what's your specific program for them to do it.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, thanks, Lily. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, we definitely work with all different types of businesses, different types of industries, seven and even eight figures, and we definitely help them scale. How they do that is obviously a little bit unique depending upon their individual business. However, the power of the mastermind facilitates what we call agitation of thought, and it helps them be able to think differently. Sometimes you're in the business, so far into the trees you can't see, or so far into the forest you can't see the trees, and being able to have others' perspectives enables you to unlock certain levels of your thinking, but then also in your business. Napoleon Hill talks about this in Think and Grow Rich, chapter 10. In fact, the entire chapter is on the mastermind principle, two or more working in harmony unto achieving something specific. And so inside of Gathering the Kings, all of us as entrepreneurs, we work together to not only just scale our businesses but scale our lives. We talk about living the exceptional life and winning in all areas. Doing that in business, obviously, there's some functional things around growing revenue and lead generation, growing your team, duplicating yourself through systems and process, and hiring A players. Like we tactically cover all of that as well. But a lot of mindset is enabling you to just even think about scaling to begin with, and that's what the Mastermind Principle is all about.
Thank you. Tell us about your formula for masterminds. And the reason I ask you this is because I wanted to create a mastermind, and many years ago I started one. And the mistake that I made was to mix multimillionaires, and I mean someone who had sold like 500 million per year, with someone who is like, her desiring to kind of make 2,000 pounds per month as a, income, and I failed miserably. And I'm wondering about your specific process, whether you have all the seven-figure masterminders kind of together, or do you mix seven-figure with eight-figure, or seven-figure with eight-figure and nine-figure, or is there a particular formula that you followed that you have found really successful for masterminds?
That's a great question, Lily. I think that everybody wants to be in a room of people who, are bigger, faster, better, stronger, right? And whether you're at the 500K mark or the 5 million mark or the 500 million mark, and we've had all of those types of organizations inside of our business, inside of our mastermind. And I think the differentiator for us, as far as Gathering the Kings goes, is that we're not just referring to the business. And so when I say winning in all areas, I mean like winning in your marriage, winning as a parent, winning in your health, winning in your faith, winning in lifestyle, the things that bring us joy. There's just so many other angles of success than just growing or scaling your actual tactical day-to-day business, that we discuss. And so to me, putting a winner in a room that wants to win in all areas, I can have a winner like that who has a $5 million business or a $50 million business, and there's so many places of value that they can go back and forth with each other, especially in a larger group, because it's not just the ABCs of a business. You're right. Inside of a business, yeah, sometimes you can get maybe a big dog who doesn't think he can learn from someone at a smaller level. But that type of individual isn't really best for us. Yeah, sure. Like maybe a certain conversation can be held at a certain revenue. And I agree with those things. Like you need to surround yourself with, like-mindedness and maybe even people further above. And all of those things are great. And I subscribe to all of those things. However, the heart of the individual, in my opinion, matters way more. And so to me, I'm attracting the person that, yeah, like, okay, maybe they've got a $5 million business, but they're okay being around the $1 million guy every once in a while. Or maybe they're a $50 million guy and they're around being the $5 million guy. What matters more to the individuals being attracted to us is that they're figuring out how to win in all areas. Yeah, they want to scale their business, but they also don't want to lose their wife or their spouse along the process. They also want to be great moms and dads. They want to be in the best shape of their life. They want to have an unshakable faith that supersedes, you know, just the day-to-day grind of their business at whatever level it is. And so the conversations, in my opinion, are just at so much of a higher level when you include what truly a picture of success really looks like. Is that so? It's kind of tough. I mean, because I can sit down with someone who right now who has a $500 million business, which is more than I've ever done personally. But I think that there's plenty that I can bring to the table to that individual as long as that individual has an open mind to growth in other areas. And so there's a humbleness, a down-to-earthness that we're looking for. And then on top of that, someone who is winning in a different type of area other than just business that's willing to share. And so we've just developed a community around this concept. And that humbleness or that down-to-earthness is kind of like at the core of it all.
So basically, the selling point is not that you are gathering necessarily seven-figure businesses together. It's that you are gathering people who want to win in every aspect of their life. And that's the kind of like selling point. So do you find that, let's say people who have sold hundreds of millions of dollars, do you find it easy to actually get them in or no? The reason I ask you this is because I've had billionaires at my event that I've organized in person. And I've had multimillionaires, people who sell hundreds of millions of dollars. Sure. And I've had a lot of them on my podcast. And what I've discovered actually is that a lot of the ones that are making hundreds of millions of dollars appear less interested in, let's say, paying for an event, even though you would think, wow, you absolutely got $500 to go to an event, right? But they're like less likely to actually invest in coming to an event, even though, let's say, their actual desired clients are there. And I find that a lot of them actually expect for things to be given to them because they have reached this level of success. And they expect, let's say, to be paid to be in a certain room because they're bringing value. So yeah. I'm wondering about what has been your experience in terms of, like, it's easy to bring the seven and eight figure people to the table. I find it less easy to bring the nine figure and, you know, above millionaires that almost like feel like we should be paying them to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you about a client of mine. He probably does 400 million or so. And his dream is just to ride out on his land in his underwear on his 4x4. And so it's like there's a uniqueness to that individual. There's also uniqueness to the individual that you're talking about. And I don't want to discredit someone's success. If they've become, you know, in their eyes, uber successful, and there's a certain threshold to be able to get their attention or their presence at an event, then good for them. There's nothing wrong with that at all, in my opinion. It just the person that we're looking for to engage with is someone who wants to be part of a community at some level. Like, obviously, we've got different tiers for kind of different sizes and different engagement levels. But truthfully, that person that you've described wouldn't be a good fit no matter how many billionaires or multimillionaires we had in a group. That individual that you've described isn't looking, in my opinion, isn't looking to collaborate. They are just leveraging what they've currently got, which is totally fine, and more power to them. They just wouldn't work inside of the environment that we're creating, if that makes sense.
Yes, thank you. So tell us more about the formula that you have in terms of like engaging the seven, eight, nine figure millionaires, where everyone feels engaged based on what they actually desire to get from that particular engagement. Is it that based on whatever they make, they have like a number of attendances, let's say, do they come more frequently? You know, do certain people come more frequently to the meetings? Or do you do like certain gatherings for everyone and then certain tiered gatherings for like eight figures and then nine figures, so that basically the people who feel like, okay, I'm at a nine figure level, I should be hanging out with other nine figure people as well. Do you kind of like separate them as well into like levels of success in terms of like how much exactly they're making in their business as well?
Yeah, I think that a good mix of what you just described is our formula. But I think that that's what any healthy entrepreneurs looking for. They're looking for a variety of opportunity. And so, yes, we have, things that are happening inside of our community on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, some in person, some online. Certain tiers have access to everything we do. Certain tiers have access to only some things that we do. And we promote those things that allow for that person to be able to grow wherever they are. And so obviously on the backside, we have a community, not just like online where you don't have any connection, but we're actually building relationships with our clients. Go figure, right? And so we know them, we know where they're at in their business, kind of typically what they're trying to work through at the current moment, maybe what stage that they're in, what they're, maybe what kind of type of help they might need, whether that be from us or maybe a resource that we have access to. And we're always trying to point them in the right direction to, like, hey, this call that's coming up is going to be on this topic, or hey, this guy that we've got coming in to speak on this leadership topic this month is going to be on the leadership development call on Tuesday the 8th, which was just an hour and a half ago. We talked about some pretty high level culture building. So there's different elements that we bring to the table that are going to hit different points along the path of wherever they are in their journey of growing their business. And or the other items in their business or in their life, because we bring in experts around marriage, we bring in experts around parenting, we bring in experts, around health and fitness and training and faith and all these other elements that we think are a big part of success. And, everybody's got the story of, okay, sure, this is how you tactically or this is how you scale a business and you can make more money this way. But if that's all that you've got, we don't actually think that that's success, if that makes sense.
Thank you. Tell us more about the the winning formula that you've discovered in terms of like pricing and hourly, attendance, like how many hours it takes to kind of create a successful mastermind that is like not too long, not too short, and that gives the opportunity to all the people that are coming to actually feel engaged and to get the most out of the time. Because what I found is that when I was organizing masterminds, I found that we were always kind of going overtime. We were planning to do like 3 hours, and I think we were always doing like 4 to 5. And I think it was fine. But I think that also people who were incredibly successful, I think they timekeep a lot more. Like they, if they committed to 4 hours, they probably have communicated that to their PA, to their wife, to their, I don't know, they are a lot more structured and more organized. Not everyone, but I would think that they are. And I'm wondering about how do you manage to make sure that every person that comes in gets sufficient time for themselves, and also the pricing that kind of fits in with their, with their goals and their return on investment and whatever else they're planning to get in terms of like success rate out of participating in this mastermind.
Yeah, so I want to clarify one piece before I tactically answer your couple of questions. The usage of the word mastermind is how we define our community. And so we use that chapter 10 of Think and Grow Rich. This is what the mastermind principle is. We get to do life together on a regular basis. We put together situations where people at high levels can come together and sit at the same table and agitate the way that that they think, right? Because when we go back and forth on something, as long as I'm open-minded, down to earth, curious, I want to grow, I've got a growth mindset, I'm going to learn something from you today, no matter what size of your business is. I don't even know anything about your businesses at all, but if I'm open-minded enough and I sit at the table long enough, I ask enough questions, surely I can learn something from you. So that's number one, is that that mastermind principle is how Gathering the Kings operates. Now, inside of that, we'll have a call or an event in person or an experience, as we like to call them, where we're kind of mixing fun and play. And so tactically, training someone on a nonstop, like I'm going to deliver information only, no engagement, you're like 45 minutes to 90 minutes. Like, right. Like you can't do much longer than that. Right. Especially when it's on Zoom and they just have to have an incredibly high engaging topic in order for that person to sit there and listen for 45 minutes or 90 minutes. Okay. In person, what we have found that works really well for us is this mixture of play and work. And so we'll bring in a speaker, but then we're mixing it in with something incredible. So for an example, we were in Utah and we rented a bunch of side-by-sides and we went out a couple miles on these sand dunes. And it was just absolutely incredible. And we pulled over for a few minutes and we had lunch. We brought it with us. And so everyone's sitting on this beautiful rock side and I deliver this incredible talk around mindset and leadership. And we were just in this most gorgeous location, Right. And so we like to mix stuff like that where we just came off in a high adrenaline, you know, riding these side by sides in this beautiful area, getting to see this unbelievable landscape. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to up level our understanding of how our brain works and how that plays into to leadership. And so as far as the formula, I think that there's a mixture online, in person, lengths of time, individual calls. Our events are, you know, 2 and 3 days typically, but there's a good mixture of time, at least for us, the people that we attract, they want to hear from a speaker, sure, but they also want to be able to collaborate with each other. And so we build in time that might, to the naked eye, just seem like downtime, but it's like they're specifically blocked at certain times of the day or weekend so that they can decompress the information that they've learned with each other, which is even more powerful. In addition to that, you know, as far as like engagement for success, yeah, like you can't sign up for something and then never attend and then expect to receive value, right? It's like there has to be a certain level of engagement, whether you're listening right now and you're considering joining a mastermind or if you're going to start one, sure. But like someone can't just sign up and pay me money and then never show up and they're not going to get any value, right? So there has to be a certain level of engagement. And my tick on that would just be to make it easy for them to engage, whether that be online or in person. Make the road easy, smooth, for them to want to engage. Lastly, that you asked about was like tactically on timing as far as organization goes. And this is a huge part for me personally. I do not like when people disrespect my time. And so on the other end of that, I am like majorly like on time, especially with events. And so we pack it all in, but it's like to the minute. And in fact, we have so many people that have, you know, been part of our group and even folks that I've had come in, mentors of mine, just come in and like, hey, just check out what we're doing. Give me any feedback, you know, that type of thing. And I so many times people walk away from a virtual meeting or an in-person event going, dude, it was incredible. It was so packed full. I never felt like we were sitting still. But at the same time, I felt like we had all this opportunity to collaborate and build relationships, and like every moment was so well intentioned. And that word intentional is what we just obsess over, not just with the events, but with every angle of what we do.
Thank you. I find that timing in masterminds is ultra critical because I find that, let's say, if you plan for everyone to have, let's say, I don't know, 2 minutes to speak and they speak for 3 minutes, then if there's like 20 people, then all of a sudden, like, your entire timing is out of whack and then it makes you look potentially unorganized. And then
Right.
people could kind of, go home thinking, this took a lot longer than I expected. I
Yeah,
had
for sure.
my wife and whatever, so the little tiny details in an event, even someone over speaking by 2 minutes, based on how many speakers there are on that day, can so dramatically make like a really can create like a bad impact. So I'm wondering, how many minutes do people get to speak during the mastermind, so much so that they feel valued and they feel like they've said their piece and they got feedback? And actually, the feedback time, I find, is the time when can go completely crazy. Because let's say someone could speak for 2 minutes and say, oh, I achieved this and I achieved that and I achieved the other and I'm so proud of myself and whatever. And then people will have feedback for 20 minutes. And then, like, if you count, like, how many feedbacks of 20 minutes can you really have in a relatively short mastermind?
I think that there's several angles that go into the answer of your question. One is that you have to limit the room to a certain number so that way the feedback loops can be thorough, but then also fit it within the time. And so we do that all the time. We take a large group and split them up into smaller groups. But then it all comes down to the facilitation. So how that space is being run. And the authority of the facilitator is a big role, big play into, you know, someone who feels that they can just talk for 8 minutes when they had 2 minutes given to them. I mean, we do simple things like having a clock up on the screen or in person. We communicate really well ahead of time around what the expectations are. And then, of course, you know, as long as you do those couple of things well, the facilitation of the actual movement along the way, sometimes you have to jump in and say, hey, like, I really appreciate all that. This sounds like a great conversation to continue offline, and I'll connect you guys afterwards. I'm going to move on to the next person for their 2 minute feedback loop. And so not everybody's willing to do that. Not only that, but sometimes they don't know how to do that with tact. and to be able to leave people feeling like, oh, like that was really well done, and I actually want to engage again, and I don't feel like, that dad slapped me on the wrist, There's a human element to it,
How do you gather the right amount, the right number of people, so that there's not too many and there's not too few? Because occasionally people can't make it last second because they travel, especially, ultra busy, ultra successful people tend to, get last minute travel that could prevent them from coming, even though they wanted to. So what's a good number for someone to kind of, let's say someone was to start a brand new mastermind, what's a good number for them to aim for in a mastermind?
Well, I think that there's plenty of research that sh even shows like teams that operate even on a corporate level that that 8 to 12 number is really, really good as far as dynamics, collaboration, giving space for people to be able to share and some to share a little bit longer, some to share a little shorter, and to work together over problems. And so I think that that's probably the number that I would shoot for if I was starting out new. I think that even as we've grown much past that, we still kind of keep that understanding, that research at the tip of our understanding, because it's like, look, it doesn't, I mean, you can't have 100 people in a room and try to get, feedback from 99 of them. Like that doesn't work like that. And so you have to be organized. If you are going to operate inside of the mastermind principle that Napoleon Hill talks about, otherwise it just turns into a conference, right? You have a speaker that giving feedback to 100 or 200 or 1,000 or 10,000 people, which is fine. That's just completely different. That's not the mastermind principle. So if you're going to sit and break down problems and rebuild them back together, you need to do that in an organized fashion. And 8 to 12, 15, 20 might still be good, but it's got to be super intentional and people have to have space. And so you just can't do that with a very large group.
Thank you. How do you create a winning formula for a mastermind, considering that, let's say, if you meet the same people every week or every month, it can get a tiny bit boring. I find that sometimes when you have a brand new person that kind of joins, or a brand new person that brings in a fresh perspective, it can be quite exciting. Or do you find that actually, no, that doesn't happen at all? There's no boredom whatsoever in your mastermind, because I know, tell me your opinion about that.
Yeah, I think that naturally humans become comfortable, right? Like something's new and then it's not new. And so yeah, I think that a new person brings new perspective and that's fresh and that's easy. I think that the people that are like super into growth and like I guess here's a little indicator. If you've ever thought to yourself, I read that once, or I know that, or I've heard that before, or oh yeah, I remember going through that before, and you kind of write it off as like, oh yeah, like I already have that information, then to me, you have a closed mindset. You do not have a growth mindset. Growth mindset to me is, ooh, I've heard this before. I wonder what's in it for me this time. And so now I'm searching this information or I'm searching this person. Okay, so I've heard Joe share about his business 3 times this year. I know Joe well. I'm bored. I don't want to help Joe anymore. Okay, well that's one way to look at it. The other way would be, okay, well, I really know Joe. This is great. He's really overcome some things this last year. I wonder what problem he's going to bring to the table today that might enlighten me on some things that I can get over in my business or my life, my marriage, my whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes. Tell us more about winning masterminds. Like, what does it take for someone to stay in a mastermind? Because I find that, let's say I like to win, okay? And let's say that I came today to your mastermind and I said, oh, I have this massive goal, and for this to happen, I need to do this and this and this, right? And imagine that I actually next week come back and I don't do whatever I promised to do. There's a level of shame and guilt that I haven't done it, and therefore, appearing in front of a group of people who have, you can say, done their homework and have done whatever they promised to do, I can look really bad, and I'm wondering about, do you ever get this issue where people stop coming to a meeting because they're ashamed about what they didn't do?
Sure. I haven't had anybody specifically communicate that, but my guess would be that if they felt that way, they've probably just slowly disappeared. And honestly, not to say that I have to write that person off by any means at all, because I think actually when you build a real community, a real mastermind, not just a coaching program or an event specifically, I think that when it's a real community, when you're doing life together, that person is less or more likely to be able to be vulnerable and be able to share the struggle or the issue that they're having along the way to their target or to their goals. And so I think when people feel safe, they obviously share more or even on deeper levels, which then bonds people together on a deeper, more important level than just the targets of business. A lot of the stuff that you've mentioned is superficial. Sure, it's good peer pressure to set targets in front of people and then go after, and then, hey, did you get your stuff done? We do that every single month. Hey, last month you set the target. Did you get it done? And all I want to hear is check, check. And if they don't say check, check, I'm moving on, right? But inside of that month, ideally, there's some relationships being built, whether it be with myself, my team, and that individual, or them and other members, to where it's not just the, oh no, I fell short. It's, I set this target and I miscalculated, or I've had some struggles with this over here. What do you recommend? And they start digging into the reason why, as opposed to just going, well, shoot, I set this really big target. I didn't get it done. I have no real connections with these people, so therefore I feel embarrassed. And then I'm just gonna not gonna show up anymore. That to me screams no real relationships, not a real community. It's just a place where I can just superficially say, this is how big my business is, and this is how I'm gonna make more money than you. And it just doesn't. It seems kind of ugh to me, in my opinion.
Thank you. What's a good way to set up a brand new mastermind? Is it to look at your personal skills and to kind of create the entire ma mastermind based around like what you can coach people in? Or is it better to just be like a facilitator and then to kind of let people kind of coach themselves?
Yeah. Well, I think allowing people to coach themselves is what a coach does. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think that a facilitator, or sorry, a person that runs an effective mastermind knows how to do a little bit of all of those things. And so there's got to be an expertise that the founder or facilitator brings to the table. And so, for me, I've had uber success in teaching sales, operations, mindset. I've grown multiple businesses in different industries. And so there hasn't, I mean, I haven't achieved some levels, and so it's not like I'm, the end all be all, but I bring quite a bit of value to the table where I can sit down with someone and I can have a conversation, and there can be something that they can walk away with, and probably me too, where it's like, oh man, that was good, appreciate that. And so there has to be some sort of expertise that gets brought to the table. It doesn't have to be in multiple areas like that, but it has to be at least something. And then your ability to connect with other people and bring in those individuals to kind of serve the needs of your members, I think is extremely valuable. Not just speakers on stages, sure, yes, but people that you can bring in that help build the community. We have several, members, paying members, but they are members of the community because they know the type of environment and the type of people I'm bringing into the space, and they've been a huge part of that, right? They know that they're going to either A, grow their businesses or create a massive impact on other people or, whatever that might be, because the space is so unique, and so that's not just me. I'm not just doing it all myself. I'm bringing in other players, other kings and queens, that allow for just major impact. Someone doesn't have to walk away from a Gathering the Kings event or a membership and think, oh yeah, Chaz is awesome. It's not Chaz's inner circle. It's Gathering the Kings on purpose because I want to try to bring people together. They might even just be the other members across the table. And they can facilitate that space and go, okay, wow, like I got what I needed from that guy or from that gal, and I don't even know who the speakers were. You know what I mean? So there's got to be, just in my opinion, there's got to be multiple angles of value that builds up not only just the event, but the actual mastermind principle.
Thank you. What are the kinds of things that make masterminds highly valuable to the members, so much so that they stick around in a mastermind for years? And what are the types of things that you think put them away from that and get them to quit really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's two things. As a business owner, we're always looking at return on investment, ROI. So like, okay, I pay 10K or 20K or 50K, 100K, and then what did I get in return, right? And did I impact my business? Did I impact my family, my marriage, my health? What was impacted for the money that I spent, right? So I think that calculating the ROI and like seeing what that ROI is very important. But then number two for me, which also answers your second question, is like, are there real relationships being developed? And so I think that, again, you can have a coaching program, you can have an event, you can have, different things along the kind of like that get used as a mastermind word, but that aren't like an actual mastermind. And those things are fine. They bring value, but those are one-time things. And so if you want someone to continue, you want the stickability, that's relationship. People don't stick around because, like they keep learning brand new things. Sure, that might be nice and that plays into the ROI piece. But they're, at least from my perspective, high-performing entrepreneurs, especially for us, the ones that are down-to-earth, family-oriented, growth-minded. If they fit that description, there's not that many of them to begin with. They want to be around other people like them. And so being in a community where they can live life with other family-oriented, down-to-earth, growth-minded entrepreneurs from all different parts of the country, all different types of industry is really, really special. In fact, I was just talking to one of our members just like a week ago, and she was like, our, like, I wish I had all of you guys in my hometown. She's not a big fan of Zoom. We have an app as well, and she'll connect on the app. She connects on Zoom. She's been to several of our events, but it's like really what she was looking for was what she thought was community. In our minds, we think community is like our family, our church, our like local stuff, which is all fine. But from my perspective, the people that I'm most connected to, the people that can help me the most, the family-oriented, growth-minded, successful entrepreneurs, I have gathered them together from all across the country, and we just meet in this specific way. So she had to kind of like reframe what relationships looks like or how those get built over the course of, a Zoom call or, text message or phone calls back and forth, because guess what? They all don't live in your area. But the sticky factor is still the same. It's the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes. Where does the ROI come from? Is it from the fact that the businesses that join your mastermind tend to do business with each other? Or is it from the fact that they learn so much that they implement a certain idea that another business from the mastermind taught them? And because of that, they're able to like separately make the ROI by themselves?
Sure. I think it's both. I mean, I think some businesses are going to flourish inside of our group because they're able to help other people. I'm thinking of one member right now. He's helped many other members and has grown his business tremendously because he's able to help a lot of other members. But he also brings a lot of value to the table as far as knowledge. I think of other people that have a very localized service company that they can't service the entire country. So they're not going to necessarily do business with a bunch of other people. But they're incredible. And they want to be able to engage with relationships. And it matters to them that them and their kids and their spouse are around high quality people. And so the value for them is the fact that they grew their marriage and they grew their business, not by necessarily selling to the members, but from what they learned and what they implemented from the other people in the group, if that makes sense.
Yes. If you have an extra 2 minutes, do you have
Sure.
any case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with that have been part of your masterminds that have any specific like successes they can mention?
Yeah, I mean, you name it. So inside of the business, we've had folks add multiple millions of dollars to their business. We've had people add multiple millions to their EBITDA, to the bottom line. We've had people scale teams. Using some systems and tools that we have to be able to grow right proper team members, hire leadership to, develop or not leadership development, leadership like executive roles, inside of making collaborations and partnerships with other people in the network. Inside of family and marriage, we've had people grow their marriages like very like intensely grow their marriage, grow as a parent, like tactical things like relationships with their kids like have like totally blossomed. We've had people lose weight, we've had people gain muscle, we've had all the things that related to health start working out that have never worked out, so forth and so on. Inside of the faith component, we've had people that are on a faith journey, some people that have been inside of their faith for many years that meet up and do a Bible study together. And so you name it. I can give you many, many examples of people from, again, all across the country who have come together in such a unique way where it's like, okay, I want to win in all areas. What does that actually mean? Well, I want to live the exceptional life. I want to have it all, right? I don't want to just have a great business or a great marriage or a great, great physique. I want to have it all. But the truth is that takes a lot of intentionality, a lot of work. And so I doing that by myself feels daunting and heavy. And what do I do next? And even if I know what to do next, I'm alone, right? So being able to match up with other people that are like me, that are forward thinking, that family oriented, they want to have the best for themselves. Like that matters. And it also impacts me. You know, I had a guy that joined probably close to 3 years ago now. And when he joined, he smoked cigarettes. And now he's running ultra marathons. Like he's going to do a 100-mile race. This will be his like third or fourth 100-mile race. Now, granted, I don't teach people how to run. He's done all that on his own. He's the one doing the training. He's the one, you know. But inside of the environment, he got around winners, and he started thinking, well, if that guy can do it, I can do it, and I can quit smoking, and I can quit drinking, and I can quit eating crap, and I can start working out, and I can start running again. And you have that addiction, that obsession with not just the business, but with these other angles too. That same guy, him and his wife, came to our marriage mastermind last year, our event, where they went deep, and it was like major breakthroughs in their marriage. And so it's like, man, this guy's life has exploded, not because of me personally, but because of the environment. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Would you say that a lot of people actually are not aware of what it actually means to be a winner in every area of their lives? What I mean is that there are certain areas of their life that they don't even know that they don't know what they should know, right? So do you find that a lot of the improvements and optimizations of their life and their business, the optimizations that the business owners that you've had participate in your masterminds have actually come from getting inspired in the masterminds, or is it from regular education from external speakers as well?
Yeah, it's a good mix. You, in my opinion, courage is caught, not taught, or inspiration is caught, not taught, right? And so, you know, for me to be able to watch someone else either walk across a stage or me just talk to them at a dinner and hear a story like that where he used to smoke and now he's running ultra marathons, I go, well, holy smokes. Like, well, surely I could start working out 2 days a week, or surely I could start, you know, reaching out to that certain type of person that I know that would triple my business if I landed that type of contract, right? Because if he can do it, I can do it. That's called, you know, courage. Okay, I'm gonna borrow that other guy's courage. I'm gonna steal that inspiration and apply it to my own life. That only happens whether you're watching a YouTube motivational video, sure, but it only happens inside of real relationships. And so when I get to know these people, and I'm like, oh, I actually know that guy or that gal, and if he can do it, she can do it, I can do it. You start believing in yourself. So yeah, whether that's through tactical information or the actual inspiration, what that translates into you is, I can do this, or I'm gonna go try. And you start believing in yourself. And then obviously, you know, there's a lot of work that comes after that, but it's all kind of downhill from there as long as you keep the momentum.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah, gatheringthekings.com is our website. And of course, there's an application there if you feel like you are down to earth, growth minded, and family oriented. We've got events and, of course, our mastermind community for entrepreneurs who want to grow their businesses, but want to also win in all areas: their family, their marriage, their health, their faith, their lifestyle, all the fun things.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.